Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 7:14, Joe Geruso joins us, New Orleans City Councilman, and talk about this budget mess that is just a mess, and I don't even know how to begin to describe it other than a mess. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me about the deficit that the city is facing, and what we're talking about the fiscal year of what?
2025. And last time you asked, it was a good question. We run on a calendar year. So it's January 1 through the end of December. And look, there's been a lot of numbers thrown around. I just think this is the simplest explanation at this point, is that we put a budget together in October and November, eyes wide open. We the council, get the budget ordinances prepared by the mayor's office. And then as we go through the process of putting more money in, taking money out, moving money around, in this instance, the mayor's office prepared that amendment, and then it comes to us. We vote on it in November 21, and at that moment, Tommy, in everybody's view, that should be a balanced budget for which there's enough money to perform operations. Mm-hmm. And then remember, in January, what happened was the administration said, we don't have a deal with the school board. We, of course, were frustrated about that and said, well, we'll have a hearing. Let's discuss all of it. Mm-hmm. And in the hearing, there was discussion, obviously, about the settlement itself. But what we started seeing was that the administration projected at that point in February about a $40 million overage in personnel spending, primarily for police, fire, and a couple other departments. And we said, hey, is this something we should be worried about? Do we do austerity measures? Are there things that we should cut back on? The answer to all that is no. It's early in the year. We have a $1.8 billion budget. Let's just stay the course and we'll smooth things out. Well, of course, as the year developed, I think unfortunately for the administration and for the city, two things sort of happened. One is the revenue that was projected for the year 2025 was now forecasted to not be where it was supposed to be, but was supposed to be $30 million less. So now, instead of having whatever it was, about $750 million in general fund money from property taxes, sales taxes, licensing fees, now we're $30 million less than we were supposed to have. And as the year was going on, the projection started to shift from $40 million in personnel spending overage to $70 million. So it's even I can do that math. You take the $70 million that is personnel spending overage and the $30 million in revenue loss, and now on paper you're looking at $100 million loss for this year. And look, everybody's trying to do their part at this moment to deal with that. I think I heard the administration say the other day that they're now going to make a 30% cut across the board in operating costs, which just means, you know, if somebody in the city needs something not related to personnel, that it really needs to be a need at this point and not a want. And there's going to be cost savings with that. There's been cost savings by not adding new employees. We're working on other cost-saving measures. I mean, there's still ARPA money around. Can we move some of that over? So I think everybody's looking at how do we fix this. for 25 going into 26.
Yeah, let me go back to these numbers because I'm looking at a story here from NOLA.com dated October 1st that says the administration presented a slide showing the expenses related to January 1st, the attack at $8 million. That's down from 35 or down initially 70 down to 35 million. Now we're at 7. That's a lot of money, but then we're still talking about a $30 million. At one point, we said we had a $40 million overage, but that's a difference of like $30 million. I'm losing track of all these numbers, Joe. You?
Yeah. I mean, look, it's really confusing, and I think, unfortunately, the numbers, and I don't mean this in quite a pejorative way as I'm going to say it, but the numbers become weaponized by people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people use it for their own agenda to say what they think it's supposed to be. And again, what we're trying to do, at least what I'm trying to do, is at this moment not so much editorialize, but say this is how we got here. So,
well, I'm just trying to figure out, because as you say, pejorative, I think numbers are the most subjective, objective thing that there can be, right? I mean, it's here, it's there, it was spent here, it was not spent there. Is there a clear record of where the money went or where why it didn't come in or where the overage was or the underage was?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. One, some of it is very clear. Some of it is murkier. So the very clear is the revenue losses.
Okay.
So on the revenue losses, for example, when the legislature was in session, they passed a number of laws that cut into collections for municipalities. For the city of New Orleans, the various collections amounted to about $8 million less than we would collect this year.
Okay.
So, okay, you know that is basically a hard number that as of June 1 on those taxes we can't collect anymore. There's also property tax that got overestimated that is uncollected. That was another $10 million. And then but the traffic cameras getting shifted and shut off, shifted out about another $10 to $15 million. So you add all that up, and it's very clear this is how you get to a $30 million revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's simple. I think the harder part for us and actually somebody in the chambers and I think even members have made this point is that NOPD, for example, I think is about, in the last budget estimation, $40 to $50 million over in their personnel spending. Well, then that begs the question, and I think we know this year, that the city did not build in overtime for NOPD. Well, was that a budgeting error that we know NOPD is going to run overtime? I mean, put aside January 1, you know there's going to be the Super Bowl. You know there's going to be Sugar Bowl. You know there's going to be Mardi Gras. There's going to be things that have it. So should that number have been higher to start the year instead of backing into it later? And in the 2026 budget, the NOPD number is a little bit higher. And my suspicion is that it's higher because you got to factor in those things like overtime and even things and obviously – you don't factor in for terrorist attacks, but you factor in there's going to be something that's unpredicted that will probably keep police, fire, EMS busier than you might otherwise suspect.
Let me take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about moving forward coming up on, I guess, November 21st is when the vote is. How do you guys know what kind of budget to approve and what's going to come in? Also see that Moody's is down, lowering the city's bond rating. What effect that'll have? Joe Jerusa, our guest, New Orleans City Council member, trying to sort out this budget mess. 722 Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, trying to understand what's going on with the city and the budget. Joe Jerusa, New Orleans City Council member, doing his best to make it understandable for us. Joe, let me ask it this way. What is 2026 likely to look like for the city's finances, for the city's services, and as it relates to people that live in the city?
Great question. So we got the mayor's budget for the first time on Wednesday. That showed a $200 million decrease in overall spending. And I said, well, time out. I don't understand that. I knew we would have $20 million less in revenue this year, but you're $180 million off. Mm-hmm. To which they said, you're right. There's other expense, other money-generating items that are about $30 million. We'll explain to you. Okay. And then there's roughly a loss of $150 million in federal funding and other special funds. So right now, I think it's two things. Obviously, to your point, numbers should be objective and not subjective. Mm-hmm. What are those things that are being cut or reduced, or there things that are happening at the federal level that are affecting our departments? And then number two, I think my colleagues in the administration are really committed to where's their revenue right now in the city that we're leaving on the table, and we really need to do a very good job of going after that as quickly as possible.
So how does this manifest itself if you are at $200 million decrease in the budget? What does that mean to people as far as city services go, or how is life in the city likely to be different?
Yeah, well, I think it's two things. One is it depends on where the cuts, the federal cuts are. So I think, for example, the largest part of the cuts with the health department are federal cuts. Mm-hmm. There will be federal programming the city cannot provide as a result of that. On the other hand, the mayor's budget has more money for police, fire, EMS. I think it's kind of those, what I always say is in between public safety departments, mm-hmm. so safety and permits, Department of Public Works, code enforcement, where are they right now, and what are we doing to stand those up as much as possible? So I think, Tommy, I don't want to sound the alarm yet, because not only is this just the beginning of a budget process, and obviously we have to go through all the hearings, but then there's another wrinkle in all these wrinkles, which is you're going to have a new mayor. And I've said publicly and privately, I feel very strongly that the new mayor ought to have a strong say in what the final budget looks like.
But you're not going to know who that is.
Well, but that's why we might not know who it is until November, but that means they're going to have to hit the ground running. And I'll meet with whoever is going forward to try and help them get their feet set as much as possible. And we won't pass the budget till December 1st this year. We passed it November 21st last year. So we're going to take as much time as possible to try and get everybody on the same page and get as much time.
You know, one other thing is we started with January 1st terror attacks, and that leads to French Quarter security enhancements, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. Does this budget revision have anything to do with that at all? Or will it affect it?
I don't know yet, but again, I think that's why we need everybody at the table deciding what the priorities are and making sure we're all on the same page.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate your time, as always. Sure. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. We'll take a break. Come back, talk about real estate and the federal shutdown, the government shutdown right now. Time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. You know, the government is shut down. Well, the federal government is shut down. Arthur Sterbko joins us now, local real estate analyst, to talk about the effect that has on the real estate market. How you doing, Arthur?
Well, I was doing fine until I decided to shut the government down.
Yeah, that happens, I guess. Tell me what effect it has on you and on the real estate market.
Well, it's going to make it pretty cumbersome until they open it back up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is some good news that the folks who have flood insurance, even if their premiums are due, there's basically a 30-day grace period for them to reinstate it. They're unable to get flood insurance right now from the federal government. There are some private providers of flood insurance that are out there that they're much more expensive. But in these types of emergency situations where you have to close on a home, for example, Tommy, mm-hmm. You can go to some private flood insurance and still satisfy the requirements of the lender. Afterwards, you can cancel a policy, get a refund, reinstate the flood policy and things like that. But again, it's a cumbersome, clunky, bureaucratic mess is the only way I could describe it.
Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, does this have any effect on any of that?
Absolutely. They all require flood insurance, as does FHA and VA. So any property, residential property that has a mortgage and it's in an area that the federal government says requires flood insurance, it's going to require flood insurance to close that loan.
What about interest rates? Does it affect any of that?
Not yet. I don't see that really being significantly impacted. In an awkward way, it could actually help, but that would be a real obscure example. The reason being, if the market is overly depressed, then interest rates will come down a little bit more. But that's not going to happen in our region, and I don't see that because this is inevitably going to be a very short-term government shutdown. And no one in government can afford to keep it closed more than 30 days. Just can't be done. So at some point in time, cooler heads are going to prevail, and this is going to get continued.
Where are mortgage rates now, Arthur, for 15, 30, or even, I guess, what is it, adjustable?
Yeah, they're probably down about the 6.5% to 6.75% range for 30% for a 30-year mortgage right now. So they're down a bit, still expecting to actually come down a little bit. Even with the Fed coming down a couple weeks or two ago, the rates had already anticipated that and factored it in. And that's usually what happens. The rates usually come down in anticipation of what the Fed is going to do anyway. And it takes a little while for that to occur. I think it's unknown right now what the Fed is going to do with the government shutdown until they get a clearer field of vision. The real impact of this is going to be in the areas around Washington, D.C. That's going to be severe real estate issues in that area with, again, government employees being furloughed or fired, things like that. That's a huge, that is the employment base in Maryland, Virginia, and around Washington, D.C. Not so much yet. We have a lot of federal employees, don't get me wrong, but our whole economy is not dependent on it like some other states.
And that's one of the higher per capita income areas in the country, so I guess you'd be talking about maybe some higher priced homes?
Oh, without a doubt. Certainly down here in this market, you know, I really think October 15th is going to be the, in my opinion, the drop dead date that they have to get resolution on this continuing resolution to reopen the government. And the reason is because the paychecks are for our employees on the 15th. If they don't show up, that's the first paycheck they're not going to receive. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of vendors, plumbers, electricians that work for federal employees that did work for them that aren't going to have any money because they're not going to get paid by the federal employees because they don't have any money. So the ripple down effect of those no paychecks on the 15th can be severe. Late charges, things like that, interest payments on credit cards are going to accrue. Trying to get forgiveness on that from all of those different lenders is going to be problematic. So it's going to be confusing for a while. This should have never happened, to be blunt. And there's no other way to explain it.
Whether it's interest rates, whether it's health care, whether it's government shutdown, if it works for you, then you don't care. If it doesn't, or you're in favor of it. If it doesn't work for you, then you deeply care and you're definitely against it. We'll take a break, pick it up, and we come back, talk about some areas that are hot, some areas that are not so hot with Arthur Sturbco, local real estate analyst, 750, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Arthur Sturbco, local real estate analyst, talking about real estate in the area. Arthur, what are the hotter areas now?
Well, they're all pretty stable right now, I guess is the best way to put it, relative to the market. The kids are back in school. The market's starting its normal seasonal slowdown a little bit going into the fall and into the winter. The area that probably has me the most concerned right now is Uptown, specifically the multifamily, the rental market around mm-hmm. Tulane University. Tulane, I don't know that most people realize it, but Tulane and Loyola, they now have a requirement this year. All the students, basically, freshman, sophomore, junior, must live on campus. And that's really hollowed out the rental market in the uptown area around Tulane University. So there's a lot of vacant rentals and, you know, a lot of homes used to just rent out a bedroom to a student. So there's a real, real softening of that market. The other thing that they required is that all the students must purchase a meal plan at Tulane. Mm. So, you know, again, the neighboring coffee shops, restaurants, things like that, Tulane is obviously making a concerted effort to keep those kids on campus for security and safety, and also to just make sure they get a better education. They're not wandering around, I guess, more time on campus studying and interacting with each other. But regardless, it's having an impact on the uptown, again, multifamily market. Have not seen it impact the single-family market. But a lot of landlords have doubles. They live in one side, rent out the other side, and things like that. So we expect to see a softening of those prices over the next probably 3 to 6 months.
But I hear that there's a crisis of affordable housing, so you would think there would be people waiting to soak that up, or they can't afford it.
Well, that's the thing. They've been getting pretty decent rents from those Tulane students. Mm-hmm. Remember, these Tulane students, you know, as a general rule, they're the pretty wealthy side of society that attends Tulane. Mm-hmm. And they had the resources to rent those units. They were very attractive to landlords to rent to students. The other thing that one positive side of it is, also Tulane said there's no more parking for those students on campus. So parking has always been a huge problem in that uptown area on those rental, but all those college kids and cars. And so the parking solution may be solved in those areas. But again, the actual units, will they be absorbed by some low-income housing or things like that? There are going to be some stressed-out landlords that are going to look for Section 8. And that's not a terrible thing. The tenants are well screened, and there's good stable rent to come in. And if you're a landlord, you've got to pay your bills. That's an important income stream you have to maintain.
Thank you, Arthur. I appreciate your insights. Any other thoughts before we let you go?
No, I think the market's headed on the bright side with interest rates falling. So there's a lot of inventory. If you're looking for something right now, it's a great time to buy.
We'll see what happens on October 15th. Thank you, sir. WWRO reminding you our greatest freedom is Americans' right to vote. Early voting for New Orleans elections, 30 other parishes happening now through tomorrow, October 4th. Get out, vote early if you can, or make plans to cast your ballot on Election Day, Saturday, October 11th. You can find your early voting place or a sample ballot at WWL.com. And today, special programming note, mayoral candidate Oliver Thomas is going to join Newell, Norman, and Dave Cohen for an in-depth conversation from noon until 1 right here on WWL. When we come back, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. It's Friday mornings. That's when we take out the depth chart and match up the Saints offense and the Giants defense, and the Saints offense and the Giants defense, or the other way around if I didn't say it that way. Then we'll talk to Pat Connick about the Belchase Bridge. No tolls suspended by the governor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.